We want our children to have the best chance to live fulfilling lives, but can you keep up with all the books and scientific research on parenting and fit the information into your own philosophy on how to raise kids? Welcome to Your Parenting Mojo, the podcast that does the work for you by investigating and examining respectful, research-based parenting tools to help kids thrive. Now welcome your host, Jen Lumenlund.
And welcome to episode 3 of Your Parenting Mojo, which is called Did I Already Miss the Boat on Teaching My Toddler How to Read? So is your toddler reading yet? Yeah, mine isn't either. I will say that this episode has been a really hard one to research and write just because there's so much information out there on this topic. Every time I thought I knew what my research question was, I had to step back and consider an issue further back in the information chain. So I'm going to kind of start at the beginning today and talk a little bit about reading in very young children. I started by reading textbooks for teachers on how to teach children to read, including a theoretical background behind this work and how these approaches have shifted over the years. I like to start with textbooks because they tend to be really rigorously researched and they have a lot of citations to spark my own research. I also found a 45,000-word essay by Larry Sanger and actually read the whole thing. He co-founded Wikipedia, and he successfully taught his own son to read. In the show notes for this episode on my website at yourparentingmojo.com, you can find a link to a video of his son reading a book at 2 years, 5 months. And he's actually also reading the Constitution at 3 years and 10 months, which is pretty young compared to the average child. Sanger did this using a video called Your Baby Can Read, which is actually available on Amazon, even though Dr. Titzer, who started the program, settled a claim with the FTC and isn't personally allowed to use the term Your Baby Can Read anymore because it's an unsubstantiated claim. Basically, the child watches a program from a DVD and then reads the books associated with it and looks at flashcards and develops an ability to read, which I'm going to put in inverted commas for now. So I was sort of reading all these different things, Larry Sanger's essay and several different books in parallel, using one to answer questions raised by the other. And I think it's safe to say that the preponderance of the scientific evidence does not advocate for teaching your baby to read. And indeed, the only study I could find on the topic was one conducted specifically to test whether your baby can read works, and it actually found that it doesn't. And another study that focused on vocabulary development rather than reading found that for each hour of educational, again in inverted commas, DVDs that babies watched, they actually knew on average 6 to 8 fewer words than babies who didn't do that, although the effect did seem to be transitory and was mostly gone by around 17 to 24 months. And we also can't be sure of a causative effect in that study. It's possible that parents who notice language delays in their children use the DVDs in an attempt to remedy this rather than the DVDs causing the language delay itself. Even Peter Sanger acknowledges that just plonking your child in front of a DVD isn't the ideal way to read. And just as a side note here, in the course of doing this research, I found that Larry Sanger has developed a free set of tools called Reading Bear, based on the ones that he used to teach his son. It's basically an open source version of Your Baby Can Read, and that also is in the link to the references for this episode. But I was highly amused to see, though, that, and I'm quoting from the site, Reading Bear is aimed mainly at children learning to read at the traditional ages of 4 to 7, but even younger children do enjoy and get something out of Reading Bear. It almost seems as though someone has read the FTC ruling on the Your Baby Can Read set and doesn't want to get on the wrong side of that argument. But going back to Larry Sanger, what about his son? He's clearly reading the Constitution in the video, even if he doesn't understand it. Can some babies be taught to read? And should they be taught to read? As a parent of a toddler, have I missed out on something by not teaching my toddler to read? And what should I be doing about it if so? These are the questions that I set out to answer for this episode. I think ultimately it goes back to what we as parents want for our kids and what our kids want for themselves. And Larry Sanger says that he aims to give his son a deep, serious liberal arts education, which he characterizes as having substantial knowledge about many different subjects and being able to write well and being able to read difficult texts and being comfortable with numbers or really good with numbers if you're in a technical field, being able to speak a few languages, and generally having a sophisticated outlook on human life and our place in the universe. Sanger argues that his goal isn't to get his kid to graduate by age 12 and wring a couple of more earning years out of his life so he gets just a little bit richer. It's the opportunity to spend more years learning general knowledge like literature and history and science before he specializes and gets deep into a profession. And so I thought about that for a while. And what I realized is that to me, it almost seems as though Sanger's missed a step, because he's assuming that a liberal arts style of education is a good thing for all kids. And I don't believe that it is. Now, I'm still thinking through this myself, so my approach may change in the future. But if I had to pinpoint what I want for my daughter, Karis, it would be that she lives a life that she considers to be satisfying and fulfilling. And of course, I would love for her to have a love for learning as well, but to me, that's a secondary goal. And of course, as a reasonably well-educated parent, it would make me happy if that involved her learning a lot about some of the subjects that I consider to be important. But it might not make her happy. She might be perfectly fulfilled as an auto mechanic who never listens to NPR. She might become a master plumber and be the person who can finally teach me how to install a hammer arrestor on an existing water line. I failed at that a couple of weekends ago, even though I'm reasonably competent at plumbing. She might want to work in an oil field, undoing all the work that I've tried to do in my corporate career, getting companies to reduce their greenhouse gas emissions. And none of those occupations requires a liberal arts education, although it's possible she could get that education and still find one of those jobs fulfilling. And as a reasonably well-educated parent, it might make me cringe a bit at parties to tell people that my daughter was doing one of those jobs. But ultimately, it's her choice to make and not mine. It's her life to live, not mine. And Sanger talks about how some of his happiest and most rewarding times in high school and college were when he was really learning, and he wants his child to do more of that sort of learning and enjoy it. But what if his son doesn't enjoy that? I wonder what Sanger will do then. But Jen, I hear you thinking, what could be the harm in it? Clearly, at least one baby has learned to read using the DVD set, even if a statistically significant sample in a scientific study didn't learn to read using that method. Shouldn't you and I be trying to make up for lost time? The scientific community does seem to have some consensus around the idea that pushing kids to learn skills like reading before they're ready and when they don't really want to can have harmful effects on later learning outcomes. A 2015 literature review called Reading Instruction in Kindergarten, Little to Gain and Much to Lose, found that many children just aren't developmentally ready to read in kindergarten, and yet the Common Core standards require them to do just that, read in kindergarten. No research documents long-term gains from learning to read in kindergarten. And studies have shown that early academic training can increase children's immediate scores on specific tests that the training addresses, but those initial gains are lost within 1 to 3 years and may eventually be reversed. It's also possible that academic instruction at an early age can produce long-term harm in the realms of social and emotional development. Just like with every other aspect of children's development, there appears to be a really wide range of normal, inverted commas again, development related to reading. Some children learn to walk at 9 months and some walk at 15 months. Some children learn to read as toddlers. I think it's probably safe to say that babies wouldn't learn to read without some adult intervention. And some children in a Sudbury school type model, where there's no direct instruction unless a student requests it, may not learn to read until age 14 or 15. Two other things stood out in my research. Firstly, that children will learn to read when they want to read to accomplish some other goal. Peter Gray, who's a well-respected psychologist who has a blog on the website Psychology Today, asked parents of children who were in alternative forms of education when and how their children learned to read. One woman wrote that her daughter had been telling people she couldn't read until she was about age 7. And then one day the daughter wanted to eat brownies, but neither the mother or the father wanted to bake them. And so a little while later, the daughter came running into the living room and asked the mother to turn on the oven and find her a 9x11 pan. And then later again to put the brownies in the oven. And the daughter said, "Ma, I think I can read now." And so the daughter read a few books out loud to the mother until the brownies were done. Another 19-year-old who had been homeschooled said that her mother would read the first Harry Potter book to her and her younger sister. But the mother was busy, and if she read too long, her voice would get hoarse. And so, being frustrated at the delay and impatient to know what happened next, the girl picked up the book and just started reading. And clearly, those children had a reason to start reading, and so they did it. Although I will say that not every child can just read. Some of them do need explicit instruction. Secondly, if you're in the US and your child isn't reading by the end of kindergarten, he or she is officially behind, according to the Common Core standards. And now we find ourselves with a problem. We know that some children may not be able to read until much later than kindergarten age, but if they're not reading by the time they enter first grade, they're going to get more and more behind as they can't keep up with material that's presented in a written format. So this puts parents whose children will go into a traditional school system in a bit of a bind. You're okay following your child's lead as long as he's not a late bloomer, because there is actually some evidence that boys develop reading ability later than girls. Perhaps that's one factor why boys drop out of high school at higher rates than girls do. from the very beginning, some of them pressured to learn things before they're ready, and that just continues to cascade throughout their school career. I'm just speculating on that one, though. So assuming you haven't yet taught your toddler to read, as I have not, what should you be doing to encourage future literacy in your child without pushing it on them? I'm going to go into a lot more detail on this in a future episode, but I wanted to leave you with some things to get you started, particularly for younger toddlers. Firstly, I want to acknowledge here that different cultures have different ways of thinking about literacy. Some cultures really prize things like oral songs and stories and music. Others prioritize the written word, but mainly use print for religious purposes, like reading religious texts, or maybe practical purposes, like paying bills and reading shopping lists. But one thing that anyone can do to prepare a child for reading readiness, no matter how you use literature, is to talk with your child in a way that enhances their vocabulary. So you don't need to run out and buy flashcards or do new word memorization drills, but you can follow 6 principles of word learning development that were developed by the authors of the book Einstein Never Used Flashcards, although I found these specific principles in a journal article they wrote with one of their graduate students. And so these principles are, 1, frequency. Children learn the words they hear the most, so talk to them often. 2, children learn words for things and events that interest them. 3, interactive and responsive contexts like conversation are more conducive to vocabulary learning than passive contexts like TV viewing. 4, create meaningful contexts. Rather than offering flashcards, learn words about baking while you're doing some baking. Learn colors and textures while you're folding laundry. 5, tell children the definitions of the new words. So when the child points to a toaster and says, "What's that?" instead of just saying, "It's a toaster," say, "That's a toaster. It's cooking your bread for your breakfast." 6, use words in sentences. Children's learning of grammar feeds off their learning vocabulary and vice versa. They learn how to use grammar correctly when they hear adults using grammar correctly. So I want to expand a bit on point 3, which is the interactive and responsive context, because it connects back to the Your Baby Can Read program, which is presented in a series of DVDs. The American Academy of Pediatrics officially discourages TV viewing in the first 2 years of life, although I read that only 6% of US parents are even aware of those guidelines, which may explain why 90% of parents appear to ignore that advice. The AAP suggests that its guidelines are based on the detrimental effects of excessive media use, and because young children learn best by interacting with people, not screens. So while Larry Sanger did teach his son to read using a DVD set, he describes the process very explicitly. He always sat with his son while his son watched the DVDs, and they talked about what they saw. And this interaction was likely to have been responsible for some of Sanger's success. And I also want to point out that while Sanger's son is reading the words on the page, he's not decoding them. He doesn't know what most of them mean. And most researchers would say this isn't really reading because there's no understanding involved. For reading to be really valuable, children need to understand and get something out of the thing they're reading, not just recite the words like a parrot. Perhaps Sanger would argue that he's putting his son at an advantage in later life by preparing him to take in advanced concepts at an earlier age once his son is able to decode. But as Professor Dimitri Christakis of the University of Washington points out, the fundamental research question is not, can infants learn from a screen under ideal circumstances, including an interactive parent, but is that learning somehow superior to alternative means of advancing child development? His review of the literature found that even spending time watching Sesame Street that has an educational benefit for 3 to 5 year old children is associated with language delays in younger children, and a variety of other studies agree with him on that point. There's just no evidence that exposure to TV increases children's language ability, and in fact, most studies find the opposite, that TV exposure is associated with a language delay. There's just no substitute for talking with real people when it comes to language development. Many researchers agree that reading books to children is very important, but so is surrounding children with literacy in their everyday lives. So following a recipe together as you bake a cake counts as a literacy activity, and so does sorting junk mail, and so does discussing road signs you see while you're out on a walk. One way to figure out a path forward is to let your child lead, which is actually something I stumbled on accidentally myself. We were waiting outside a restaurant about 3 months ago, so my daughter Karis would have been about 22 months old. It was a seafood restaurant, and there was a humorous slogan along the bottom of the window, something like "fish or cut bait," I don't remember for sure. And Karis pointed to the F and said, "What's that?" And I said, "It's an F." And she moved along each letter, so she understood that each letter was a distinct thing, and said, "What's that?" And then not long after that, my husband was at the mall, and he picked up an alphabet book at a bookstore so he could get his parking validated. And then soon after that, Karis and I went on a backpacking trip in Wales, and she made me read that alphabet book every single night, even though I specifically requested we read a different book. And she knew about three letters of the alphabet before we left, and now she knows probably about two-thirds of it. And the whole thing was led by her. We read books to her when she asks, and we tell her letters when she asks. But your child may not be asking these questions yet, and that's okay. So the research says just continue reading books and vary the books as much as your toddler will allow. Sometimes Karis likes to read the same books over and over and over and over and over again. So test him if you can with longer books, but also mix in shorter books as well. Follow her lead. My next question is, now that Karis has expressed an interest in learning letters, what do I do next? And so that's going to be the subject of a future episode in the not too distant future, because I've already written it and have it ready to go. Don't forget that you can access all of the references in this podcast on yourparentingmojo.com. Just look for episode 3, Early Literacy. I'll look forward to seeing you next time.
Thanks for joining us on this episode of Your Parenting Mojo. Please subscribe, rate, and review the show on iTunes, and sign up for our mailing list at yourparentingmojo.com to receive a free gift, 7 relationship-based strategies to support your children's development while making parenting just a little bit easier on you. For more respectful, research-based parenting ideas to help kids thrive, we'll see you next time on Your Parenting Mojo.